I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. We have had a powerful week. Focus all week on this show has been breakthrough. We are praying, believing, asking God for huge breakthroughs in your life. And I'm kind of a word picture girl, but I've been just picturing chains breaking off of those who've been bound by addiction or self-hatred. And I've got this mind's eye as I've been praying, just seeing all these different people who've been dragging baggage with them, just from your past, regret, shame, whatever, indulgences that week. And you just dropping the baggage, walking free, and suddenly stepping into technicolor. You know, isn't that a beautiful picture? I want you to imagine what could be possible if you trust God and you take the next step. Well, if you listen often enough, you know we have Dr. Troy Sproul on the show every month, and it's one of our favorites. People just love it. So we've got him today to tell us some of his most favorite breakthrough stories. He'll also answer some of your questions, your health and healing questions. I have to say it every month. He's not here to diagnose you. That would be unfair to even ask him to do that without seeing you, doing an assessment, but he gives general advice. But the purpose of this is really to open your eyes to say, you know what, there are a lot of things you can do to improve your health. And sometimes the slightest little tweak can make all the difference in the world. So as we think about breakthrough today, I want you to consider what steps maybe you could take to move towards breakthrough, that you cooperate with God. You make a move, God makes a move. What might those decisions be about today? And if you've got questions, here's the text line, 877-933-2484. I'm going to give away 10 packs of these cards. You know how every time I have a new book come out, we get these beautiful quote cards with just beautiful scenic pictures and then great quotes. Well, the book that Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail, comes out in just a few weeks. We got the cards ahead of time. They're gorgeous. So I'm just going to read to you a few of the quotes. If you could see the end from the beginning, your confidence in God and your courage in battle would soar. God is looking for saints today who are willing to rise this hour and believe Him to be the God He declares Himself to be. Do you trust God more than you trust yourself? Are you willing to follow Him to a restful place, even when your schedule says it's impossible? There's an ancient path of wisdom before us, paved with the footsteps of the saints who've gone before us. They've learned well the lessons of rest, perseverance, and trust. Here's one more. Our setbacks are actually setups for the great day when God announces to all of creation that we belong to Him. Our God is meticulous and miraculous. So if you picture each of these cards with a hiker, a mountain climber, somebody sitting by an ocean, I've got 10 packs today. So the way to get in the drawing for those is you text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And then when you have a drop-down menu to describe what you want, just put 10 pack of cards, Angie, just 10 pack of cards or something like that. Okay. Let me tell you about my guest. We will get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's get going. We love to start every day making it personal. What has the Lord been talking to you about these days?
I actually have a quote from Galatians based on, I heard my wife talking to a girlfriend, and her girlfriend was struggling a little bit with some stuff that was going on in life, and this is what my wife brought out as they're just communicating. And so it kind of goes with the theme of this week and everything you've been doing. So this is what we've been living and we've been talking about quite a bit. So Galatians 6:9. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up.
Fantastic.
And the context for which it was used was her girlfriend had just been working with family members. She took over for with a child that was not hers, but a parent with drug addiction, and she took the role, the main role, and just brought up with Christian values, and just a lot of stuff's happened with the Supreme Court and everything over the last week or two. And she just got it's been a decade or two of really self-sacrifice to help this child, and then just a backlash that was anti-Christian, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And so she just felt defeated with 20 years of helping someone, and then you kind of get that. And so that was the counsel and the advice. And it's very similar to many people's journeys when it comes to their health. And just in general, you can be just pouring yourself into someone, and at times you can get just something that isn't sitting well in your eyes, or it's not how you would want to see it. And everyone's on an imperfect journey, and that child's going to come back to her, and everything's going to be great because she knows. I mean, she knows, and mm-hmm. God will bring her back. But it doesn't change the heart hurt that was there from my wife's friend's perspective. And so we see that very, very commonly, and it was just a good piece of scripture, because we just have to keep going. We've got to keep our eyes on God, mm-hmm. and keep going. Don't give up. He encourages us not to ever give up.
Yeah. You know, you and I talked about this before about healing, but I would say it's the same with breakthrough, that it's never a straight line, you know, A to B. It's twists and turns, ups and downs and all around. And I think one of the enemy's favorite attacks is to say your efforts were nothing, worth nothing.
Yeah.
None of it mattered. None of it stuck. And that is the most despairing attack that he can level against, like a parent. And he tries to get us to make permanent decisions in a temporary season. And if he can get us to do that, we self-sabotage, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and I've known of pastors, you know, who started a church and were super faithful. And then, you know, the next leadership took over. They were just kind of tossed to the curb, and then the thing crumbles and you start to feel like your time was wasted. But nothing's wasted that's done for the Lord. Seeds that were sown into kids or to lives or to families or churches or whatever, there's a kingdom element to that. So just because man might mess it up doesn't mean the kingdom has forgotten about it, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yes. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's see. We got some questions, but let's first talk about some of your favorite breakthrough stories. And again, I told him, even if there's ones he's told on the show before, I want him kind of encapsulated in this show because it's about breakthrough. So you may have heard a couple of these stories, you may not, but we're going to talk about them right now.
Well, one of my favorite ones from very early on had to do with a jaw, and so I'll start with that one because it's one of my favorite ones.
He pointed to me when he said jaw because I have quite the jaw.
I had to do some.
Yeah.
I guess you can't, on radio, you can't see me pointing, can you? Is that right? You can't see pointing?
I got a little TMJ problem, and he wrenched my head the other day, so that's why. Anyway.
Therapeutically.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So in another case early on, this is maybe 20 years ago, and had a patient, and she had been suffering from migraines, and she would get them on and off. By the time she got to me, she was on day 30 straight of a migraine.
Oh my.
And so she was just in so much pain, and she was crying, and I did my assessment. I found out it was coming from her jaw. And so I went in, and it was maybe one of the tightest jaws I'd ever worked on. And as I was working on it, I could tell it was just painful, but she also could tell that it was the right thing to do. So as I was working on it, it was intensifying the pain, and then she had mascara on and she was crying, and it was all, you know, tearing and going down her face. So she had black all going down her face and everything. And I said, "Are you okay? I don't need to continue with this." And she said, no, keep going. And the reason why it's memorable is because we used to have a quote board in the clinic, and because kids would always say the funniest stuff. And so we'd always put up quotes there. Well, What she ended up saying next ended up being our quote that never lost. So it stayed there for a year straight. It never got beat because people just resonated with it so much. As I was working on it, all of a sudden, after 15 minutes of doing that work, and I know you've had jaw work, you know it's a very tender, sensitive area, all of a sudden it just popped, released, and the jaw was reset and went back in, and her migraine went away instantly.
Wow.
And so she sat up just crying, black mascara everywhere, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, Dr. Troy, that was awful. Thank you so much." And that was the quote that never got beat.
Yeah, that's perfect. Isn't that the way it goes? I remember, I know you've got other stories, but I remember one when you were flying somewhere, and then a little baby on the plane was crying and inconsolable. Yeah. And they're like, "Does somebody know a doctor on the plane? Do you mind?" You remember that one?
Yep.
Yeah, what happened there?
So they said that the baby was bleeding from the eyes, and so I went and
checked.
Wow,
I didn't remember that.
Well, it was... the baby was bleeding from the nose, and then rubbing her eyes.
Oh.
And so it was head pressure. And so I didn't have anything to look in the ears or anything like that. So I had to kind of guess which ear was plugged. And they didn't speak English, so I was trying to communicate with them as best I could. And so I just guessed. It was 50-50, and the baby was inconsolable, and there's blood kind of on the face from the bleeding nose from crying so hard.
Mm, wow.
And then I went inside the mouth and did a release on the jaw that releases the sinus pressure. And instantly the baby stopped crying and then fell asleep. And then we went back to our seat and the whole plane started clapping.
Wow.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if for the doctors listening out there, you get a free flight if you do a medical assist.
So wow.
I've had two medical assists, free flights in my life.
That's amazing.
Well, I resuscitated another gentleman before, but
wow.
They actually do that. So thank you to the airlines for recognize
that's a great thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
I'm
yeah.
just saying, if Dr. Troy comes at you with a rubber glove, you should run. Because it's going to hurt. I'm just saying. But you love him after. Yeah, exactly. That was terrible. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to pause here. He's got a couple more stories to tell. We sure welcome your texts, your questions. You can text 877-933-2484. I see a couple questions about the 10-pack. So the way that you sign up for the 10, they're gorgeous cards. I'm telling you, I love how these turned out. But to get the 10-pack, you have to text book because it's an auto reply. No quotations, no exclamation, just text the word book and it'll kick back a link and then you fill out your information and where it says which book you're asking for, that's where you say 10 pack of cards and we're giving away 10 packs and they're just fun. You can put them out on your counter to see or put them on your mirror or send them to a friend. They're just beautiful quote cards. I think you'll enjoy them. We'll be back in a minute. Is the promise keeper. You can trust him. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. One of our favorite guests joins me in studio today, Dr. Troy Spurl, on this breakthrough week. If you've missed the programming all week, you've got to go back and catch the podcast. There have been some powerful shows, but we behind the scenes have been praying for your breakthrough. I've got intercessors who are praying for your breakthrough. I'm getting texts and emails going, I'm interceding, I'm believing. And so we really are hoping and praying that you start to see breakthrough, that you start to even, you know, so often things almost need to break down before they break through, where you have to almost get into the mess of things before you can get to the other side of things. And so I'm asked Dr. Troy to share some of his favorite breakthrough stories. And as you notice, even from the story he told, things got a little worse before they got better. If you've got questions for the doc, send them in and we'll do our best to get them answered. You can text 877-933-2484. Also, we're giving away 10 packs of quote cards from my new book, Strong in Battle, which isn't even out till next month, but they're gorgeous scenic pictures with really inspirational quotes. The way you get in on the drawing, you text the word book, just as how it works, because it's an automated response. Text book to this number, 877-933-2484. It'll kick back a link. And then when you fill out the form, just say you want the cards. And I hope you get them. Okay, Doc, give us a couple more stories.
Well, I've got a few here I brought with me. There was one gal named Marnie who was memorable for kind of the wrong reasons. The very first time she came into the clinic, it's one of the few times I've ever left the treatment room to see what was going on. And I came to the front desk and she was just yelling and berating our front desk person. They're just really being mean. She just full of anger, and it didn't matter what it was about. It was just inappropriate. And
wow.
So I got in between her and the receptionist, and I basically identified myself and said, you cannot talk to my staff like that. And I said, you're free to go. I said, I do not need to see you if you're going to talk like that. That's not how we talk to people here. And she was shocked by that. And then, she said, no, I'll keep my appointment. And when she came into the room, she kind of had this bravado about her and everything. And she was like, I have to say, no one's ever stood up to me like that. And it wasn't in an aggressive way. It was in a caring, but you're not, it was just a firm foundation there. So, well, for whatever reason, that built trust. She trusted me because I stopped her in that act. And then so she listened. And that was her MO. She never listened. I was her 26th doctor or something like that. And she had all these problems. Well, sure enough, we found the major issue was liver. And liver, the emotion that really goes with a liver that's overwhelmed and overloaded is anger.
So that's why you say sure enough?
Sure enough,
wow.
Yes. Yeah. So we worked with her, and she was her presentation was just a very bitter, resentful woman. She was in her late 50s, never married, no kids, and just had a reason why everything was wrong in life. And I saw such a transformation in her. She, at the age of 50, within the year, she became this soft, just gentle person who was became a big sister and started mentoring other kids.
Whoa.
And it just changed her
life.
From
liver detox?
From helping with liver and the mindset. And so, but we supported the liver. She still ended up passing many years later of liver cancer, but... But she said, before she passed, she said, my last 6 years were the best 6 years of my life.
Wow.
And it was cleaning up the liver, but then also there's so much emotional damage that she had caused other people and even to herself. A lot of self-condemnation, she only saw the bad in the world. She didn't see the good.
And there are physiological implications, aren't there?
There are physiological implications of that. So we started from a physical perspective. But the bottom line is she trusted no one and so never followed through with anything really with that stuff. And then it validated why she felt the way she did.
Wow.
See, nothing works for me.
So it makes me wonder, like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg in a situation like this. So do you get a toxic liver and it makes you angry, or do you get angry and you don't process things through your liver very well, or is it both?
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen it work both ways. Wow. So our emotions can impact the liver can impact our emotions. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street.
Much like the gut can impact the brain and the brain can impact the gut.
Exactly like that.
Wow.
Yes.
Are you having a proud moment right now?
I am.
Yeah. I've learned.
Dr. Susie.
I'm listening. I've learned a lot from Dr. Troy over the years. Okay. Yep. Wow. Do you have another one for us? Interesting.
So this is one that has a little bit more faith as far as just how God can turn things around in a second. And this is a case that was actually highlighted on Fox News. It was the mystery illness patient of the month, and they were referred to me after she got aired. She had they called her the bubble girl. She would go outside, and the wind would blow, and she felt like she was being stabbed over and over and over again. So when she came in, did our assessments, and we found that I thought I knew what was going on with her nervous system and some of the triggers, and I gave a rough estimate of about 3 months to retrain her system. And we did a lot of work over the 3 months, and there was not 1 ounce of change in the first 2 months and 29 days.
Wow.
And then she woke up. Almost exactly. It was a day shy of 3 months, woke up and the pain was gone and her reflexes and the stuff we'd been working on was normal. So it just kind of shifted. So for the parents though, and this is a child, she was 12 at the time. And for the parents, it took a lot of faith and trust to keep going to do what we're asking them to do. 'Cause it wasn't easy stuff. It was a lot of dietary change and some other components, but she kept coming in and it wasn't changing. And then all of a sudden, one night it just changed. And part of her body that we wanted to turn on started working and turning on again. And then Fox News came back and did a follow-up piece with her playing outside with her friends and stuff like that. And so that was just that was a big breakthrough. And it was nice to see, their faith in what they were doing pay off far as just getting that the reward that they wanted. And changed her ability changed everything for her.
Amazing. We really do have to think long game. We have to recondition our minds when it comes to thinking about health, because we get unhealthy in an accumulative way. It's over time and it's so subtle we don't even realize how much we live with, right? But then you most times get healthy in an accumulative way.
Yes.
And, you know, you hear about people who give up, let's say, gluten, going, I don't think it bugs me that much, but doc says I should give it up or whatever. Yeah. And they start to feel better. They get mental clarity. I'm not saying everybody should. I'm just saying let's take that as an example. And they start to feel better and better over time. And then they go have a burger with a bun and they get so sick and they're like, oh, it, but I think because the reason we have to maybe reframe some of this is because we're so used to treating symptoms.
Yes.
We are a fast-paced culture. I want a quick fix. I don't care if this is just a Band-Aid. And we, that's, I think, one of the reasons we like to have these conversations. If you can think long, if you can really build a sustainable health, it's your own body helping you stay healthy rather than just treating symptoms.
Absolutely. We want to restore the foundation that God gave us when it comes to our health, because God put an innate healing within us. It's only when we mess up that communication that it doesn't work properly. And it's not just one thing. So if you take gluten out and you feel a slight change but not a major change, it doesn't mean it's not a factor. It means it's one of many factors, and it's maybe 2% or 10% of the issue. But it still will be good for you to avoid that or minimize or decrease it. So there's usually multiple things that have to be done. That's why having heightened awareness and just focusing on your lifestyle and your routine is so crucial.
Yeah.
And all the things we talk about, whether it be getting sleep and your sleep habits and proper restoration and diet and dietary habits, just paying attention to what impacts you and what doesn't. And sometimes it feels like it just makes no sense. I had someone recently say, I get triggered. I can tell I'm being triggered, but I don't know what it is. It's never the same thing, never the same food. So then I asked the question. I said, what about leftovers? Well, I'm the leftovers queen. And I said, do you know that histamines build up when there's leftovers? Here's a list of high histamine foods. Let's see if that matches up with your symptoms. And sure enough, it
Isn't
was bang on. So you never, it's not necessarily the food itself, but a component of the food sometimes.
And you can react 3 days later to a food.
Yes.
So sometimes you go, I didn't eat anything bad today. But it's like your body's saying, you did 3 days ago. And that's why if we could just have a better understanding of some of that. And the idea that when you think of any kind of emotional healing, it happens in layers. I mean, God in his wisdom allows it one layer, you know. And I think like, you know, I remember when Kev, my hubby, went to see you the first time and he was complaining about, I think, knee pain. And you're like, oh, that's your back. And he goes, no, that was my knee. And you're like, no, that's your back. And you fixed his back and the knee pain went away. You know, we again go to where the pain is, which is natural, but the way God approaches healing is much like that, isn't it? We're going to address this. We'll get to that, but now we're going to do this. I mean, there's a dynamic in how he does that.
Yeah, absolutely. And using that example with the knee pain, the back was affecting the nerve that it was affecting the knee. And so that's a kind of a direct linear way of doing it. But God has set us up too so that things can be happening in your upper stomach that's affecting your right big toe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically looking at different things, like when your toe flares after eating a certain thing, then that's just feedback. That's just information. And so you never know how it's going to look or what it's going to be. And that's kind of why I like it. It's like I like puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And so God gives me a 10,000 piece puzzle every time someone walks through the door. And
that's awesome.
It's never really the same twice.
That's so good. Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll start tackling some of these questions. And I think Doc might have a couple more breakthrough stories, but I want you to hear these so that maybe your expectations around what breakthrough might look like can be adjusted. Not one, that you'd start to believe for the impossible. So don't lower your expectations, but adjust them to go, I play a part, God plays a part. I'm going to make a move, God's going to make a move. And think the long game and try to imagine having the kind of health where your body is supporting you and your body's default response is resilience and strength. You can get there, but you need to get there with God one step at a time. You make a move and then he makes a move. We're going to talk about sciatica. A few people have asked about that. We'll tackle that one when we come back. More with Dr. Troy in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Dr. Troy Sproul's my guest today during this breakthrough week. We really, really want you to experience breakthrough however you need it. We've been addressing breakthrough from different angles, and today we're talking about health breakthroughs. And I just want you to close your eyes for a moment and imagine what a healthier, healed you might look like even a year from now. I've referenced this book because it's changed my life. It really has. Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. It's a 100-year-old book. In fact, Kevin and I bought 10 copies and gave them away during one of the broadcasts. One thing he said in there that just stuck with me. He said, healing, health and healing, and just this faith journey, he says, is like a game of checkers with God. He said, you make a move and then God makes a move. He'll never take your turn, and he'll never move out of turn. So sometimes when you think you're waiting on God, he's actually waiting on you. And I think that is so true in the healing journey. And I think it applies here too, Doc, with what we're talking about, that you know, we make a move. You know, I always say, pursue healing and pray for a miracle. Do what you can do. Do your stuff.
Yes.
And then ask God to do what only he can do. Amen?
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, they say, people always want to know, can you help me? How long is it going to take? How much is it going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, generally speaking, because we never know the outcomes, but generally speaking, I'll say this will take 3 months and or 6 months, and this is the cost. But we're open to miracles. So if you're done early, we're good with that.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So we leave that door wide open for God to do what God does. And we have seen that. We have people that come in where I truly expect it's a 6 to 12 month journey and process, and 3 weeks later they come back and they're like 100% it's gone.
Wow.
And we're like, that's
hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
That's, you've got nurses who pray with their patients. That's so powerful. That's awesome. Also, we got a 10-pack of cards, 10 of these, 10 packs, and they're gorgeous scenic cards with quotes from my new book, Strong in Battle, which doesn't even come out for another month, but we got these cards early. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. Text the word book, and it'll kick back a link, and then fill out your information, and Angie will draw 10 names. And I hope you win. Okay, so we had a few spinal questions here. Had surgery for spinal stenosis 6 years ago. Didn't help, made things worse. Doctors I've seen since have recommended another surgery. I cannot bring myself to do that. Any advice? Thank you. God bless.
So generally speaking, when stenosis surgery doesn't help, and I, without seeing any imaging, it's hard to say for sure, but generally speaking, when you have stenosis, that basically means it's like a narrowing of the canals where the nerve roots come out. And so the shifting of the bones cause that, and the bones shift because the muscles and ligaments are not stabilized properly. So generally speaking, what set up the problem in the first place hasn't been addressed. Stenosis that's due to like a bone spur or a degeneration of the bone, and they open that up, it'll take care of the problem. That means there's something else going on within the muscles around those joints. So when people are moving functionally, there's a little bit too much give in those joints. So generally speaking, you do want to see someone who's trained to a physical therapist, a chiropractor who does kinesiology, someone who assesses the muscles, can help shift the bones. And I'm just going to say that the most common thing I find that causes stenosis is something called spondylolisthesis. So when the bone shifts and moves forward, it's a little bit harder to get back in place. And not all chiropractors will know exactly how to work with that, so make sure that they do. But look for those types of things, and then different things cause that, really. If there's obesity involved, taking down some weight, reducing inflammation, strengthening the core, that eventually gets you to the spinal muscles is pretty key with that.
Wow. And a couple of questions came in on sciatica. What do you say about that?
Almost the same answer, actually.
So
sciatica is a nerve impingement just coming out of the back or the hip itself. And so there's a little notch in the pelvis called the sciatic notch. That's where the sciatic nerve goes through.
Somebody thought of that.
So creative, the scientists. And so the sciatic nerve, though, can shoot down the leg, pain down the leg. And again, it's the same thing. There are some people, though, where it actually will go through the belly of their piriformis muscle. Only about 10-12% of the population have that. So when that muscle gets tight, it can clamp down on the nerve.
Mm.
So sometimes it's as easy as a muscle stretch.
Piriformis syndrome, isn't that what that's
piriformis
called?
Piriformis syndrome, exactly. Mm-hmm. It mimics sciatica. And there's another thing that mimics sciatica, and that is an ileocecal valve spasm in the small intestine. Mm. Funny enough, it causes swelling around, well, I guess it's not funny, but strangely enough, it causes swelling around the sciatic nerve. And that can mimic the same sciatica. So sometimes you have to massage down to the right of the belly button. If it's tender, then releasing that can help reduce the sciatic pain. So it usually exacerbates that. And caffeine, sugar, alcohol are the three main things that irritate that valve. And then after that, it can be anything spinal and usually pelvic dysfunction, twisting. When we sit for long periods of time and then twist, it can create a psoas spasm, which is a muscle in your hip that then shifts the pelvis and rotates it. And if it stays like that too long and the muscles clamp down, then we end up with the potential of causing sciatica. Sciatica is one of the easiest things to fix when you identify what the root cause it is.
You take a different approach. I had piriformis back when I taught aerobics, and if I'd overwork my glutes, I'd get that one side would spasm so bad, and I'd put a tennis ball under the glute, and it could be on my back, pull my knee up, and get that internal stretch, and that's what took care of it.
Yep.
And if it's iliacecal, you're rubbing the belly off to the side, right?
Yep.
And then if it's the other that you were talking about, what would be the remedy for that?
Well, that's usually, again, PT or chiropractic will help with the rotated pelvis, or you can do stretches to counter-rotate it. Just have to figure out which side is rotated. So usually 80% of the time it's on the same side as the pain. And then you have to counter rotate, and sometimes with a stretch, and that's where you kind of twist the knee over top of the other leg. And then sometimes again, every time you actually get your core stronger, everything balances out and is better. So maintaining core strength is one of the best ways to help this. And there's nothing worse for your core than eating unhealthy, inflammatory food and sitting for long periods of time. And then think about how many people where that's their job.
Inflammatory foods. I mean, people are getting their foods from the local gas station, right?
The local gas station.
That's
they got the
M&Ms
by the computer, their inflammation station. I like that. I'm going to use that.
You can. As long as you attach my name to it. No, I'm totally kidding. So if a person is dealing with sciatica, it wouldn't hurt them to rub their iliacecal valve.
No, exactly.
I mean, it can always help you if you're, you know, I mean, there's times I feel it where I'm like, okay, maybe I had a little sweet treat and my body's responding.
Just gently massage to the right of the belly button and down a little bit. And it's right by the appendix area. And so gentle massage. And if it's a little sensitive, just hold it until that sensitivity goes away. It's usually 60 seconds. And you'll be surprised. It's a unique referral. It's kind of like when people have a heart attack, they can feel pain down the left arm. So that's a referral from the heart to the arm. When that part of the intestine refers, it can refer down the leg.
Interesting.
And so same with the gallbladder that refers up to the right shoulder.
So just one more question about that. If it is piriform, let's say they don't know at this point, but if they did the internal stretch with the tennis ball, would that bring relief?
Absolutely. If you have sciatica and you just want to look for options, just look up, because there's videos on this and even pictures, look up piriformis stretch, then look up iliocecal valve massage, ICV massage.
Very interesting. Okay. First of all, of the opening of this text, it says, you can imagine what.
Yes, I already know.
Greetings to my favorite doctors, plural, I'm just saying, in the whole wide world. I've been diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis. Oh, wow. Because they couldn't figure out anything else that could have been the cause of elevated liver enzymes. I tested negative for everything else under the sun. I don't drink, don't smoke, I don't do drugs. What could have caused my liver to go crazy like this? I still think I had to do with ketoconazole ointment with my doctor prescribed for a rash on my arms. I know the oral form of ketoconazole causes liver damage. I used the ointment, and 14 days later, I had elevated liver enzymes for the first time ever in my life. But the doctor says there's no way the ointment could have done that, and I would have had to eat the whole tube for it to be the cause. What say you?
That would be a strange reaction to the ointment, not saying that didn't contribute at some level, because basically for a liver enzyme to elevate, there has to be something from the environment, a chemical, or basically a lot of the toxins get metabolized and broken down through the liver system. So usually for stuff like that, it can be viral. It could be an environmental chemical, especially if the GGT. So there's three different liver enzymes, ALT, AST, and then GGT. If the GGT is quite a bit higher, I usually see that with environmental toxicities. And so I always tell people, look at where you live. If you live downstream from one of these plants, to throw 3M under the bus, but like just use them as an example, anything where there's chemistry, things that run off from the actual plant itself, there's the potential for that. I have a lot of patients that we have to give them IV glutathione to help get their liver enzymes back down. And they were exposed to, you can do a chemical tox panel, and we found environmental toxins 100 times the upper limit. And so they're not life-threatening, but they're obviously
affect
hard.
The health.
They affect the health. And so that's one thing. If it's autoimmune, the other thing is to look at if your vitamin D is low, if your omega-3 and omega-6 ratios are off and your glutathione status is low, then you can go autoimmune. And the other thing that can cause that is like liver flukes or parasites.
Hmm.
That it, only though when your other markers are susceptible. So when you're, especially vitamin D, if your vitamin D is below 50 or especially below 30, then a liver fluke can trigger the enzymes to rise as well. Medications can do that. Alcohol in excess can do that. Other things like gasoline can do that. Look at things like carbon monoxide. So check your basin for radon and carbon monoxide poisoning, because that can do it. With radon, you'll also see a change with uric acid. And funny enough, some uranium markers actually, not that they would check that, but we've done heavy metal testing where uranium showed up and it ended up being radon from a basement. And so we found some really unique radon toxicity issues from tests like that. So the liver, something is causing the liver, it has to detoxify something. There's also some scenarios where if you do a bowel study, there's certain bacteria that recycle medications and chemicals and estrogens when they're in excess. So they're in the Clostridial family. And so you can actually get there's a marker. I can't remember what it's called, beta defensin and beta glucuronidase. There it is. I knew it'd come. Beta glucuronidase can be elevated, and so these things can start to cause issues with the liver enzymes too. So your own bowel could actually be toxifying your liver with severe constipation or with this bacterial imbalance. So a bowel study can oftentimes be very, very helpful. But there's a lot of factors there that probably haven't been looked at, and those are the ones we've found with liver enzymes just very, very elevated. And the most common one I'll say is Epstein-Barr virus, reactivated Epstein-Barr virus. And if you look at the research right now, there is a slew of reactivated Epstein-Barr virus post-vaccination as well. So if a vaccine, the recent vaccine is there and Epstein-Barr virus has shot up, we're seeing liver enzymes get up into the 200s, which normally we want to see them around 26, 25. So we've been seeing a lot of that too.
Interesting. One more question before break on the liver. Can the doctor touch on what we could do for better liver health just overall? What would you say?
Yeah, so fasting is number one for liver.
Wow.
So the liver is involved with detoxification and it's involved with digestion. So when it doesn't have to do the digestive part, then it can focus on the detoxification part. So it starts to pull things out of the lymph system. Water, drinking lots of water helps. So you want water and fasting first and foremost. Then anything that's anti-inflammatory. So the liver loves antioxidants. So fruits and vegetables are great for the liver. There is different herbals like milk thistle that is excellent for liver function. And then things like apples will thin the bile. So apples are great, liver, support just for the fruits and vegetables part of it. And then just eating low calorie meals, smaller meals helps the liver quite a bit.
And so conversely, giant meals and then high fat, high carb meals are really bombarding the liver.
Really hard in the liver.
Tough.
Yep. Yeah. And glutathione, which, you can't get glutathione supplement form that effectively. There's some liposomal glutathione, but glutathione is the main antioxidant that helps the liver detoxify. Mm. And the liver is what makes your cholesterol. So things like not smoking is less work for the liver.
Mm.
No. Smoking causes more work for the liver. Mm-hmm. So just a healthier lifestyle that way. So alcohol's hard in the liver, caffeine's hard in the liver, hormones in excess are hard in the liver, environmental chemicals and toxins and pesticides are hard on the liver. So organic food helps with the liver as well. So fasting, and people always say, well, organic's more expensive. It's getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper right now. And fasting is the cheapest form you can go. So
yeah, lots of water. Okay.
Yes.
We'll take more questions when we come back.
And on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall.
Hallelujah. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live on this breakthrough week. We've been praying for your breakthrough. One of my intercessors just texted and said, I'm interceding right now. We really believe that God is the God of the miraculous, and he moves in cooperation with us. He invites us to move with him. And today we've got Dr. Troy Sproul on to talk about breakthroughs in our health. And so often it's the slightest tweak, or it's just a diet change, or, you know, a schedule change, or the way that you manage stress. And so we're going to tackle a few more questions that are real specific. We invite you to text in. We'll get as many as we can. 877-933-2484. We're giving away 10 packs of my cards that go with. They're quote cards. They've got really beautiful scenic pictures on them with quotes. My new book, Strong in Battle, comes out in just a few weeks. We got the cards early. I want to just read a few of these. Our setbacks are actually setups for the great day when God announces to all of creation that we belong to him. Our God is meticulous and miraculous. I love this one. Jesus wants to transform you into someone you never dreamed you could be. He wants to turn your fear into faith, your tendency to self-protect into a passion to step out with purpose. One more. The more I rehearse the ways God has come through for me in the past, the stronger my confidence grows that he'll carry me, fight for me, and make a way for me in my current battle. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Okay, on to our questions. This one says, after surgery to remove calcium oxalate stone from the ureter 2 years ago, I continue to struggle with slight pain on that side and some stone production. I've embraced a low oxalate diet, drink water. I'm continually looking for the root with help from a naturopath. Any ideas which way to go?
Absolutely.
He's giddy to answer your question.
Awesome, because I'm sorry you're going through the kidney stones. They're not much fun, but the hidden sources of oxalates. So 75% of kidney stones are made from oxalates. Oxalates you get from our diet, but also there's a component in our what's called the citric acid cycle. That's how we produce energy, where certain things will take one of the acids and convert it into oxalic acid. So fungus or candida in the intestinal tract or in the body can do that. Mold can do that. So it's usually a fungal or mold component, either in the body or something you're breathing in, that's causing the conversion of that acid. Now, you need an enzyme called LDH, lactate dehydrogenase, to actually convert that acid, and that's dependent and fluctuates with sugar consumption. So it becomes kind of a crazy scenario where if you consume too much sugar, it actually can create more, it feeds the fungus, number one, but it also creates more of the acid buildup, the oxalates. So to bind the oxalates, the funny thing is you need to take calcium citrate. So calcium, if you take it in two with each meal, will actually decrease the amount of oxalates from the food going in. But the real problem is you've got to turn off the tap of the fungal on the inside. One other thing is B6 is needed to actually convert that acid into glycine, which helps you actually detoxify. So if you're B6 deficient, then you'll start seeing a few things. Sometimes that can turn into insomnia or some sleep disorders or some other neurotransmitters disorders. But by adding B6 and citric acid and sometimes some other support with the liver system, gallbladder, bile duct system, that can actually help to decrease the oxalate. So low oxalate diet, but look for the fungal component. My favorite test by far is an organic acid test. An organic acid test through Vibrant America Labs or Great Plains Labs will tell you about your B6 status. It'll tell you about your fungal status. It'll tell you about how many oxalates you have and the other things that can be contributing to that. So if you're working with a doctor who's aware of those labs, just ask for an organic acid test to actually look for those problems.
Awesome. And she's got a question.
I do. I know I'm not alone in suffering from allergies a lot this year.
Yes.
And I'm taking an antihistamine and some supplements, but are there other things? Because it's not something I'm ingesting. It's something I'm experiencing from the environment. What else can I do?
So we're seeing a lot of people with that. So I'm just going to go through like a 2-minute course on the immune system. So it's obviously much more complicated than 2 minutes, but generally speaking, the immune system does three things. It fights infection, it manages our inflammation, and it cleans up the mess from the day's activities. When your immune system gets confused, it'll start making mistakes. So when do we get confused as humans? It's when we're not sleeping, when we're not eating enough, or when we're working too much. So if your immune system is overworked, underfed, then it can start making some mistakes. What we're seeing is that just, I think, because of 2 years of COVID and all the co-infections and the stress and everything, we're seeing an abundance of extra work for our immune system. So people are developing either autoimmune, which is confused immune system where it's attacking itself, or increased antibodies against the environment. So the place to start is to make sure your vitamin D is optimal, not just normal, but optimal. Blood tests for vitamin D should be around 80. That's where we want to see it. Dr. Oroz, an oncologist from California, was treating COVID, did an interview, and he just made an off-the-cuff remark saying how many of his patients were thanking him for getting rid of their allergies, their seasonal allergies, because he put them on vitamin D for COVID. And so that's a big player. So again, vitamin D, fish oil, and glutathione. Those three things help to actually improve your reaction. And then for the actual allergens, the antihistamines, the natural antihistamines are quercetin. So anything with quercetin in there can be very, very helpful. But working on the foundational immune system stuff. So we have to get your immune system to be support. We have to feed it. So that's antioxidants. Sorry to say, less sugar and inflammatory foods, good sleep, and exercise can all help, but it's got to be appropriate exercise. If you exercise too much, then that can actually cause problems. So most people say, okay, I'm good with that one. I got that one. I won't exercise too much. I got you, doc.
Yeah.
And so though that's the foundational stuff. And getting the immune system back on track is very, very important to do these basic protocols, basically, of good sleep, lack of inflammation. But we've got to get the vitamin D, fish oils, and glutathione levels up. Antihistamines and quercetin can help until you don't need to do it. And then there's a little trick that I did years ago for some patients where I had them put distilled water in a jar out in their yard, and basically the pollen or whatever was in the air that was falling down that people are breathing in, it would fall into that jar, and then you bring it in and you dilute it 10 times. So you basically take more distilled water and you mix it into another jar, and then you do that 10 times. And then you take that last one, and it's a very, very small amount of what you're actually reacting to, and you take a little dropper full of that every day, and it's like taking a little...
It's like allergy shots.
It's like allergy shots for your backyard, specifically. So
that's
my
MacGyver approach.
Yes,
see what I'm saying?
I love it.
You guys don't even need me anymore.
No, we totally need you. We just got a minute and a half, but one of my favorite stories, too, I think we've probably talked about before. I bring it up all the time. So there was I think she was an athlete patient, but had horrible, horrible headaches. And if I remember right, the dad was not totally subscribing to the functional med thing. And you're like, just indulge me, you know, take a jar of water, put it in different spots of your house, right? Because what he does is you leave it open. And then if there's some, you know, because mold often is in heavy dust, it's, you know, it's not in the air, it's landing on surfaces. So those jars of water catch the mold, and then bring them in after 24 hours, and she takes a little sip of each one, and they just do a strength test to see if she loses strength. And in her bedroom, it proved to be the bad area. And he's like, it's fine, it's fine. And Troy, you're like, no, I just indulge me, just take a closer look.
Yeah.
Just say a quick word about that. What happened there?
Yeah, so after we did the first round, we just left the water out for an hour on each wall, because we wanted to see if we could isolate where it might be coming from. So did that for an hour, and sure enough, only one of the walls reacted, but it was an inside wall. He said there's no pipes there, there's no, and he's in construction, so he knew what he's talking about when it came to that. And so I said, maybe it just was a bad test. But it bugged him enough where he got on the, and it was right where her bed was, where she slept every night. Got on the bed, and he looked up in the popcorn ceiling. There's a little pinprick of a hole opening. He started scraping it, and black mold fell everywhere. They had popcorned over a vent, and she was breathing that in night long.
They
cleaned that up, and she was
good. She got healthy.
Yep.
MacGyver strikes again.
That's right.
Dr. Troy, thank you for the time today, and I pray you found some encouragement. There are answers to your questions. God wants you well. Let's just take it one step at a time. Have a blessed day. We'll catch you here tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.